Hello and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU provides each of our listeners with current information on a wide variety of topics related to health, athletic performance, fitness, and nutrition. On track one, Corey will provide his commentary adapted from the Certified Sports Nutrition Advisor Education Program, current research data, and his clinical experience. On track two, he will be joined by Tracy Hawley on He Said, She Said, for her female focus on topics related to whole food, health, relationships, and raising healthy children. Track three features an interview with our special guest, who will share their expertise and experience in the healthcare, fitness, and sports nutrition field. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, Volume 8, Number 4. Last month, I revealed the secret of steel. I disclosed the answer to its riddle, the riddle of steel. I wonder how many of you got it. I wonder how many of you really, truly know the secret of steel. Do you understand the power behind the hand that wields the sword? Do you understand what's inside of you, the power that each one of us contains? I wonder if you're demonstrating that power. I love Tony Robbins and the way he kind of reduces it to personal power. Is your life demonstrating the full capacity of that power? Are you doing whatever it is that you're doing? Are you doing it with passion? Do you love what you do? Are you throwing yourself into it? Are you creating? Are you designing? Are you releasing the power that you have within yourself? You know, it's infinite. It's greater than the sun. It emits rays of light from inside. You know, we have a vision. We all have such amazing capacity, and it's such a shame to see people throwing it away, to see some people living in a state of depression, to see some people that have given up, to see some people that have taken second best or third best, to see some people that are living their lives out waiting for the end to come instead of being eager beavers and not knowing when the end is going to come and not really caring because they're so busy, they're so involved in life, they're trying to fill up and juice up on it, sort of like life is a big carrot and they're just juicing through it and drinking it in and getting the absolute most out of their experience. I remember listening recently to Earl Nightingale, who's one of my mentors, and he referred to our life as the space between the bookends that he calls the mystery. So each one of those bookends, to the left and to the right, is a mystery. You know, we come from the mystery into reality, and here we are. This is the space that we have. This is the time that we have. It's not forever. It's going to come to an end. End is a relative term because as we move into the book mark on the right, or rather the book end on the right, then we're going to move into the next phase or the other mystery that we know nothing about really. So the key is, while we're here, let's prepare, let's plan, let's think, let's do, let's take action, let's have fun, and let's live with purpose. And that is exactly what I want to talk about on this month's editorial, on this month's discussion. I do want to talk about purpose, and I want to know if you have one or many. I want to know if you've written it out. I want to know what you're thinking about. I want to know what's in your mind. I'm talking about life purpose. I'm talking about living with purpose. I'm talking about living with direction and boldness. And I'm talking about being driven by what's inside of you. What is inside of you? What are you living for? What are you doing in your life? Do you have a plan? Have you written it down? You're an architect. And life is set before you. Draw what it is that you want to do in the sand. Pretend you're standing on a gigantic beach and you're looking out into the ocean and above is the sky and the sun is shining and there it is. Now get a stick and draw into the sand exactly what it is that you want to do until your time is gone, until you terminate, until you disappear, until your energy is transferred into the next zone. However you think what it is that happens to us and all of us, and you in particular. You know what? That is relative. But in the absolute sense, we really don't know. And here we are. So are you happy? Are you getting close to being happy? Are you being fulfilled in the least? Are you agonizing in this zone? Are you limited by how you think or by how others think? Do you live to meet the approval of other people? Do you live to make other people happy? Are you so worried about what your next door neighbors are thinking that you won't do really what you want to do? Are you so concerned about what your mom and dad feel about you and about what you're doing that you won't tell them the truth? For example, maybe you're gay and they don't know. Maybe you hate your job and they don't know. Maybe you're living in a marriage that you hate that's destroying you and they don't know. Why don't you let it out? Why don't you talk to somebody? Why don't you start living your truth, living your passion, and being who and what you are? I love that Brad Pitt interpretation of Achilles, and when the young slave asks him in the movie Troy, why do you do what you do? And he says, look it, this is who I am. This is what I am. So what I'm asking you in this editorial today is, who are you and what are you? And are you coming close to being what you truly are? Have you defined your purpose? Do you know why you're here? Do you have a goal in mind that you're trying to achieve? And I mean literally, is that goal carved in the space of your mind? Like Mount Rushmore, you can see the images, and I'll be going there as I travel through South Dakota. People have carved images in rock, and do you have similar kinds of images carved in your mind? Are you reaching towards something, something that you designed, that you created, that fulfills you, that gets you off? Because if you're not, I'm telling you, you're not living the kind of life that you're entitled to. This is what we've been given. We've been given a giant platter of diamonds. We've been given fields of rubies and emeralds. And there they are. All we have to do is pick them up and let them sparkle. So are you sparkling, or are you covered by the blanket of your own thoughts? Are you living in darkness? Are you actually seeing yourself for who and what you are, which is a miraculous, wonderful, amazing, beautiful, gigantic person? A person with enormous thought capacity. We're not bugs on leaves. We're not simply driven by instinct. We can conceptualize. We can imagine. We get hunches. We have intuition. Some of us are parapsychic in our ability to use different systems of thought, whatever they might be. But it's absolutely amazing. Some of us are 7 feet tall. Some of us are 5 feet tall. We're different shapes and sizes. We can get into small spaces, or we can reach up high. Some of us are strong. Some of us are very flexible. What gifts do you have? What were you born with? And I'm not talking just your physical structure. What about inside? Do you have a dream? Do you have hopes? Why do you exist? Have you actually asked yourself that? You know, William James was, I guess, considered to be one of the great American psychologists. And he has great books, part of the collection that I have in the great books from the Encyclopedia Britannica. And in one of his pieces of literature on human psychology, he says that it is the responsibility of every man and every woman above the age of accountability, when they get their wits about them and they have an idea of what's going on and what this life is all about, it's their responsibility to take a step back, to examine their lives and their existence, and ask themselves why they are doing what they are doing. And you know what? This is the great thing. You can stop. You can put whatever it is you've got in your hand down, whether it's a weapon or a shovel or an ice pick, and you can just stop and walk away. You can get up out of the room. You can just say, I quit, and feel the weight of the world fly away. You know what? It does take balls. It does take courage. It takes whatever it is that you need from within you to do what's right. And this is what being true to yourself is all about. When you have purpose, you get very clear about what it is that you're doing and why. And there's most people, I'm stunned by this. I just thought when I grew up as a little boy that everybody knew why they were doing what they were doing, that everybody had kind of surmised that we live on a planet that is turning on its axis at about 1,000 miles per hour and traveling around the sun in orbit. It's elliptical and it moves at about 67,000 miles per hour. I thought everyone knew that. I thought everyone knew that, you know, we lived in a universe and we don't know our origin and we're searching, we're trying to find out as a collective species. And people have different ideas, different theories, different concepts, and it's all great. It's all moving us forward in time to a great day of awareness, to a great day of enlightenment. But right now, while you're alive, what are you doing in your life? Where are you working? What are you doing with your time? Who are you spending your time with? What is it that you want to be doing, and are you doing it? Are you fit? Do you have time for training? Are you eating well? And why not? Maybe the reason that you're not doing exactly what it is that you want to be doing is because you're unhappy. You don't have purpose. You don't have something put together in your mind, and so you're settling and you're just doing what everyone else is doing. And this is what they mean by the opposite of courage is not cowardice. It is conforming. Conformity is a form of cowardness. When you're putting out and you're just going through the motion and it's not truly who you are, and you're not really living up to your own expectations, and you feel the difference, you know the difference. It's like when you're running hard and training with intensity and lifting well and doing it with precision. You know how to execute and you execute. Now, let's think of your life. Are you executing your life with the same precision of an athlete? Running down and getting ready to pole vault over that rod way up high. Are you prepared? Have you done your work? Have you done your skill training? Are you doing the work that's required to be successful in whatever it is that you're doing? Are you here simply to fulfill your biological function, which is what? To go forth and multiply? Is that all you're here for? So you've had children and now you're just kind of like wasting time to reproduce after your kind? Maybe you think that the only purpose that you're here in this world is to obey God. But what does that mean? Have you actually explored what that means? Have you heard that still, small, quiet voice? Are you clear about what you're doing and why? Have you nailed it down? Because I'm going to see evidence in your life. Success leaves a trail. If you truly are doing something spectacular, then everyone around you is going to know that you are because they can see what you're doing. Do you show evidence of growth? Do you show evidence of maturity? Are you 40 and 50 and 60? You should be getting wiser and smarter, not falling apart. You should be lean and healthy and strong, not slipping and sliding. People should be able to look up to you. The longer you're here, the more environment you have to take in, the more experience you have to draw from, the more wisdom, the more knowledge, because in all you're getting and in all you're understanding and everything that you're doing, you're supposed to be filling up your mind with the richness of life, and that's supposed to theoretically help you stay on track. We're supposed to be getting stronger and fitter, not weaker, not less conditioned. So where's the evidence? And I think a lot of this has to do with the fact, again, that many, many of us have failed to come up with exactly why we're here and what we're doing. Now, your purpose has got to be unique, and this is very important. You've got to ask yourself, why am I here and what am I doing here and what am I going to do with the remaining period of time that I have? I'm 51. Let's say that I'm going to die at 80, so I can calculate 29 years. But let's be fair. Let's go beyond. Let's say I reach my maximum capacity of 120. Okay, well, there's more time. There's another 80 years. But let's say between now and then, they come up with some cloning technology. They discover the fountain of youth. They're able to do something spectacular in medicine, including even renovate and restore my brain. So who knows? Who knows how long I'm going to live? I want to live. I don't want to die. So let's hope for the best. Let's think positive. Let's just take one day at a time. Let's live like it's our last day and keep living each day that comes like it's our last day with purpose, with drive, with motivation. You see, if you don't have any purpose, you don't have any motivation, and you just kind of go through the motions, and it's really hard to get things done that are really worthwhile, that are extra special, that are extraordinary. And is that all you want to be seen by people, as just an ordinary person? Or do you want to be known by yourself, to yourself, as an extraordinary person? Well, I can tell you that I have spent a lot of time and energy over my life on coming up with why I'm here and defining my purpose. So I'm going to share that with you just to give you an idea of how to do it and why it's important. Okay, so I have a five-fold purpose, starting with one, survive, two, procreate, three, pursue excellence, four, have fun, and five, service others. Okay, so my purpose is fivefold. I've written it down. Each word means a lot to me, and here's what each one of these things means to me in detail. And this is what I want to. This is what I would like you to do if you have never done this. I would want you to, after this exercise of listening to me today, is write down on a piece of paper what it is that you're here for and why you exist. What is your purpose? Write it down and then expand on it. And don't worry if anyone's looking, because no one is. This is just you inside of yourself putting this stuff down. Close the door. Make sure no one's around. Write this stuff out and just let loose. Just start letting the flow of energy from your mind's eye come through the fountain pen and start writing stuff down that means everything to you, because this is you. This is how you feel about you. And let's also put it this way. Let's say that money was not an issue. So what are you going to do? Let's say that there was no limitation. Just put down on that piece of paper what it is that you would like to do before you pass away. And you'd be surprised, because life is a just employer. She will give you exactly what you ask of her, provided that you do the work. You see, she's just. She doesn't give stuff to people who don't earn it. You've got to earn it, and it starts with your thoughts. Okay, so number one, my first foremost purpose is to survive. And what I mean by that, besides the idea of thriving and being super well and strong and healthy, because that's what it takes to survive, okay? You know, I just recently lost a loved one. He was not strong in body. He lost it, and he went down too soon. So he's not alive. He's not surviving. The key is to stay alive, to survive. And number one, health. If you know what health is, it is simply not the absence of disease, but it is the presence of function. Are you functional? Are you functional in life right now, or do you need to make some changes? And if you do, then start making them, because you want to stay alive. You make the decision that you don't want to die. Don't be a coward and poke yourself in the eye every day by how you treat yourself. Don't slam your hand in the drawer of your own life by abusing yourself every day of your life and slowly chipping away, neglecting yourself, abusing yourself, doing yourself in with whatever habit you want to talk about, recreational drugs, smoking, drinking, not training, training too much, burning yourself out, not sleeping, working too much, whatever it is. Why are you treating yourself this way? What happened to health in your mind? You see, if you revolve your head around health and your life around health and not work and not your spouse and not your children and not the planet, but you as a healthy individual, then you will do what it takes to stay well, to stay alive. So I talked about health span as 120. So theoretically, that's our maximum limit. Now, life expectancy is not the same as health span. And life expectancy in Canada and the United States is a little bit lower. It's around 80. Okay? So the people that have got the best life expectancy on the planet are the Japanese. And that's kind of interesting. And they do believe that there's a connection between lifestyle now. It's not just genetics, because those sons and daughters of those Japanese that move to the States and start eating garbage and start driving cars instead of walking, they die sooner. So we also don't want to just live for living's sake. We want to live with vitality and energy. We want to compress morbidity. We want to live free of pain. We want to enjoy the time that we're alive, and it's pretty hard to do that if you're not well. So there's the purpose in surviving. So when I say I want to survive, everything that it takes to be well and stay alive, to be agile and swift and strong and have incredible endurance and stamina, and to develop my mind, my cunning, my uniqueness, that's what I mean. Let's focus also on the health span. That's the time that I'm alive, that I'm free of pain, not taking medication, not seeing doctors, not being bedridden, not having colds and flus, feeling good. When I say I'm going to go to the gym tomorrow, I actually get to the gym because I feel good. Whether I'm driving or walking or skiing or flying in a helicopter, I am doing it with a sense of purpose. So number one is survive. Number two is procreate. Now, this is a personal plan. This is my purpose. This is not necessarily your purpose, but this is my plan, my purpose. And number two, very important to me, is to procreate. Well, biologically speaking, in evolution, that's our only purpose. The only purpose of a living thing is to replicate itself so that the species doesn't die off. And so have you done that? Well, if you haven't done that physically, maybe you've decided not to have any children, that's okay, because you can carry yourself over. You can leave behind memories that actually reproduce themselves in other people. So there's more than one way to reproduce yourself. You can write a fantastic book. You can write music. You can leave something behind that reminds the world of you, and you live on as that memory, as that piece of work, that piece of expertise that you made that contribution during the time that you were alive. But there is something about biological reproduction. I love my children, the intimacy, the hard times, the good times. It all leads to developing myself, the hardship of being a father, the difficulties in managing children, the fears of their health, of losing your children. All of this makes the man, makes the woman a stronger individual. It's part of life. Being a father has helped me to understand my father and my mother. It has helped me to understand what they themselves went through with myself. It's had an emotional impact on me. It's given me a resource, a fountain of love inside that I can't possibly explain. The miracle of birth, I saw all my children born. I cried. I felt tremendous, unbelievable spirituality inside of me. I can't even explain that. I just love my children. And so, yes, I do live in fear, although fear needs to be controlled, of losing them, but that's also changing as they grow up and as I age and we come to our own eventual end. It's a natural process. You become less fearful because you're gaining strength by living life and accepting the reality of life. So that was, for me, procreation. Important to be the father that I never had, to develop a relationship with my son and my daughters and then my grandchildren that will bring fulfillment on many, many different levels. My mother has told me that she lives for her children in part. She has her own goals and her own purpose defined, but part of her existence is made acceptable. It's made more compassionate in the love that she finds in her children. And if you don't have your own children, think of this. I have a gay friend who knows a lesbian couple. He donated his sperm. They now have his son. So now he has a son through one of them being a host. I know it's a crazy world, and it's not the same world that we used to live in, but that's possible. Now it's possible for a woman just to choose some sperm and become a host and have her own baby. She doesn't need a father anymore. You know what? What's worse, having a mother that loves a daughter or son, or being in a relationship with a horrible father who mistreats his children and who abandons his children and who is mean and alcoholic? You tell me which is worse. So you know what? There's no guarantees. You always roll the dice. As parents, you don't even know what kind of children you're going to get. We've got cloning coming in the future. My goodness, imagine this. Maybe some of us will be able to clone ourselves. Think of that. You actually clone yourself, you find a host, you have a child, and then that daughter or that son is you growing up and you see and watch yourself. Isn't that a bit of a freak show? Anyway, that's the world that we live in now with the technology and the changes. And believe me, they are coming, and they are coming hard, and they are coming fast. Three is pursue excellence. Now, what I mean by that is on every level that you can imagine, I want you to pursue excellence. I want you to have a plan. I want you to be doing things that build that part of you up. So the spiritual component that I relate as the life force inside of us. Some people relate this to God and have a relationship or a faith. So that part has to be worked. Do you go to church? Do you read your Bible? Do you meditate? Do you spend time with others? How do you develop your spirituality? Two, the metaphysical components. The hunches, the intuition, the paranormal experiences, the psychic abilities, whatever you want to call them, the imagination, develop those. Don't be afraid of those. Don't let other people say that they're evil. Exercise your right to be who you are. Remember the first rule in natural medicine, do no harm. That means do no harm to yourself and do no harm to others. So if you're not harming yourself and not harming others, then exercise your right, your natural design to create and be who you are. Emotions. My goodness, learn to harness the positive, control the negative, suppress the negative. This is why I listen to audio. This is why I sing. This is why I listen to music. This is why I train. It's all about overcoming negative emotions and raising the positive emotions and then using the next element, which is the mental capacity of our being. Logic, science, data, incorporating information, stockpiling knowledge into our brain that we can draw from, use the logic, use the positive emotion, and move forward. Don't just tread water. And as you're going down for that last count, you've got to reach out, but then use whatever it is you've got inside to survive and stay alive. You know, the willingness to fight off the demons, that is the strength of your character. And that is what all of us need to overcome. On a sexual level, are you experiencing good sex? Do you have a good sex life? Do you function sexually well? Does your plumbing work? Do you have good circulation? If you're fit and functional, if you look good and feel good about yourself, you need to have a good sex life. We have the gear. We're supposed to use the gear. We're supposed to use it lifelong. Be proud of what you have. Enjoy yourself. There's a great emotional release through our sexual expression, and in love, when it's in union with the right person, when the things that are said are well-meaning and genuine, and there's integrity in the moment, it's a beautiful, wonderful thing. It's part of the solution to overcoming the hardship in life is our sexuality. Be proud of what you are. Be proud of what lives inside. Be who you are. I don't care. Be gay. Be hetero, be bi, be transgendered. I don't care, but just be who you are. Come out of that closet and show the world your brightness, that you're a beautiful person who does not want to hurt anybody, and you can't change the fact that you're black or white or yellow or dark brown. You can't change that, and how can you possibly change who and what you are inside? Just be it, and stop messing around. Stop wasting time. Physical, our physical excellence is where the training comes in. It's where the conditioning comes in. It's being well and strong and fit. That takes work, W-O-R-K. You've got to work at being well. And if you're not doing that, why not? How important is everything else in relation to the physical body that you're living in? It's short-lived, yes, but it is, in fact, where you do live. It's a temple. It's a house. It's the most important real estate. So it's not just about what you look like, but it is partly related to that. Feel good about what you look like and ward off disease, ward off infection, ward off feelings of low energy and fatigue. That's where the personal and personal training gets personal. That means you are your own personal trainer. And believe it or not, you don't need a personal trainer. Yes, we need instruction. Yes, we need expert guidance. We need advice from people. But you have got to get to the gym on your own without your hand being held, and that is overcoming what's inside of you. Socially speaking, again, I'm still on pursuing excellence. Pursue excellence. Right now, I'm doing that myself. I'm meeting people. I'm making cold calls. I'm asking. I'm stepping up to the plate. I'm showing my courage. I'm introducing myself to new people, new situations, and meeting people. And how do I do that? With compassion, with joy, with love, with a sense of not trying to take anything from anybody, just being me, just meeting people. It happens all the time in the gym, left, right, and center. People always come up to me and talk to me. It's how you put your plates back. It's how you unload and load the plates. It's how you look. It's how you treat other people in the gym. That's what attracts the right kind of people to you. Remember that like attracts like. And the greatest likeness is the image that we are inside the body, not the outside. It's the person inside. It's all the damage. It's all the junk. It's all the gunk. That's what you bring into your life if you are in that state. You attract like. You attract people that are in the same frame of mind or are struggling in the same ways. Financially, let's pursue excellence financially. Let us not live in debt in our mind, but let's get out of debt in our mind. Let's stop thinking about what we owe and let's start thinking about what we can create. Sometimes you need to borrow something and then give back 100-fold. Let's say that you had no seeds and you spent your last $5 and bought some seeds. You planted, you worked with the sweat to the brow, and fortune worked out and you had a beautiful harvest, and then you paid back double what you owed, and now you had lots left over to give back, to give to your friends, to give to the poor, to share with your family, and to enjoy the comfort of your life. Money, as I've mentioned before, it's only a means to an end. It's not an end unto itself. Do not live for it. Do not die for it. You are not money. You are something so much more. You cannot be bought. There is no price that you have, although you can sell yourself short. And in your life, if you're selling yourself short right now, if you're doing something for money that you hate, that's grinding you down, that's turning you inside out, that's ripping you apart, and you're suffering emotionally, physically, spiritually, then, my friend, you need to get out. You need to stop, and you need to stop right now. Number four is, how important is this? Have fun. My goodness. You know, kids, that's all they want to do is have fun. And are you having fun? You know that expression, are we having fun yet? You know, I was led to believe when I was younger that work and fun are two separate things. What a bunch of crap. I don't believe that. You make what you do, how you generate revenue, you have fun doing it. You treat people with respect. You treat yourself with respect. But having fun. Look at sport. Do you play for fun or do you play for win? And in your life, are you playing to win or are you playing for fun? I'm trying to play for fun because I like having fun. Because fun is really ultimately the best thing that I have in my life. Having fun means I'm laughing. I'm experiencing joy. It's like Christmas 24 hours a day. Wouldn't that be nice? And then when the bad times come, when the punches come at us, in a fun state, in a happy state, in a joyful state, you're more likely to be able to endure them than if you're in a depressed state, not having fun, and grieving your life experience. So remember that sport, the life that we call this life, is a sport to me. We're all athletes engaged in the sport of life, and sport doesn't build character, it only reveals it. So is your character that's being revealed in the sport of living, are you proud of it? Are you conducting yourself with a professional manner? Are you able to look back at yourself, yesterday's performance, and say, yes, that was a good job. That was a job well done, and I'm going to do it better tomorrow, and I'm working at it right now to make it better. And are you in love with yourself? Do you have a love relationship with yourself? Because you can only raise yourself up to a level that's connected with you inside of yourself in terms of the connection that you have with other people. Yes, it's easy to save the world and neglect yourself, and I recommend that you don't do that. You're numero uno. You've got to look after yourself first. You know, I've emphasized this time and time again. That's how we're able to do the work that's required to stay well. It's because you have a connection with yourself. You see yourself as being worthy and worthwhile to put the time and energy into so that you stay well and strong, as opposed to losing it all, money, health, wealth, everything. You'll lose it all if you neglect yourself. In the end, you won't regret it. You'll thank yourself, and people will thank you, believe me, a million times over. And number five, I just recently added this in, because you can keep adding this on. You can keep extending the list. I think that seven would be good for me. But number five is provide a service. When you do something that you love, and when you generate revenue, the way that you do it is you provide a service, something that you're good at, something that you're specialized in. So make that service that you provide spectacular, super great, wonderful, phenomenal. And it will bring back to you exactly what you put out. Whatever it is that you put into that is what you're going to get back. So create revenue from what you love doing. And you've got to believe that this is possible. Even right now, if you don't like what you're doing, it's okay to dream. It's okay to think outside the box, and you better be doing that, because life is what you make it. You have got your hands as the captain of the ship on the helm. You're steering the boat. You're in the driver's seat. If you want to stop, stop. You want to go, go. But you're the one in control. You're the pilot of the ship, okay? So control it. Tell it what to do. Don't let the ship tell you what to do. You tell what the ship what to do. You live in the body. The thing inside of you is in control. Be ingenious. Release the genius that you have. Utilize the power of your mind. It's infinite. It's fantastic. It's unbelievable. And if you can really see that, then anything is possible. So why do we need purpose? Because without purpose, there's no motivation. And without motivation, there's no movement. And without any movement, we die. So don't just go through the motion of life. Define your purpose. Get clear about what you want to do, and then start doing it. How do we discover our purpose if we don't have one? Simple. Just start writing it down right now. Just like I told you, write down on a piece of paper what you think you want to do with the time that you have right here and right now. Because this is all you get, folks, as far as we know. Now, maybe there's a life after, and maybe there isn't. I don't know. Neither does anyone. It's a guess. We speculate. We dream. We have faith. Whatever. But right now is what we have. So let's make the best of it. Yes, life sucks. It's hard. But get over it. And when you do get over it, then you can start getting busy. As the saying goes, get busy living or get busy dying. But you can't do both, and you're doing one or the other right now. So number one, this is my particular structure. This is what I've laid out, and maybe you'll lay out something similar, and I've tried to explain how I feel about each one, and there's a lot more too, because I keep adding on to the list, and I expand, and I keep going back to that, reminding myself of what it is that I'm doing, and that helps me to get up and go every day, get out of bed, and do what I need to do. So number one, survive. Number two, procreate. Number three, pursue excellence. Number four, have fun. And number five, service others. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening. And here's a quote from the one and only William Shakespeare. See first that the design is wise and just. That ascertained, pursue it resolutely. Do not for one repulse forgo the purpose that you resolved to effect.